A family is a team.
We are all grace at mealtime.
Due in part to
these
heredity.
These boys greet their dad,
but also because we were brought up different.
It is not a good idea for one being away from him during the day, all anxious to talk to him. Junior is
the way we were treated in heaven.
Man alone, heavenly self above nature's
background.
Had to create
it on our own.
Don't make unkind comparisons about
yourself. It takes all kinds of people to make up a world.
Team. That's what a family is.
Do any of you know the story of Noah's Ark?
Noah is the person that God said for him to build a big boat.
Why do you think he did that?
This rock and the bottle lives there. And put each two animals into the boat. The moms, dads, families.
But he didn't listen to God, so he got eaten by a whale for like three days.
So a whale ate Noah's Ark.
Yes.
How's everybody doing today? Excellent. My name is James. I'm one of the pastors here. We are in the middle of a series entitled Family of Families, taking a look at the truth of God's Word as it relates to the family. And today we're going to examine what it means to be a child. There's something disarming about children. There's a sincerity, an innocence, a trust. If they mix things up, Jonah and Noah, not contemporaries, by the way, that's to be expected, right? And it's adorable. They're kids, they're children. Kids say the darndest things, right? It's just kind of what it's like there with children. And then they grow up. In fact, oftentimes children reach the point where the sincerity, the innocence, the trust is slowly replaced by cynicism, skepticism, and sometimes even defiance. Not so adorable. If you're a high school or middle school person here today, yes, I'm talking about you. Now, part of this is just the movement from child to maturity, and it's just natural, just as we're figuring it all out, it's kind of the growing pains thing. But part of it is because we tend to fail to apply God's word to this critical stage of our lives. And in doing so, we miss out on God's design for us in our families and within our church family. Now, the Bible gives us instruction in all of this. How do we follow God's word as children within our human families? What does that look like? How do we conduct ourselves in our homes in a manner that brings glory to God? We're going to look at that this morning. And then what does it mean to be a child of God within his family? How do we grow up in our faith? And how are the two related? What can we learn about being a child in God's family from our human families and vice versa? If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to pick up right where we left off last week. We wrapped up right at the end of chapter 5 of Ephesians. If you have a web-enabled device, you can follow along there. We'll also put the verses up on the screen, but we're going to begin in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. It says this, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother." This is the first commandment with a promise. And then Paul shares the promise. He says, "Honor your father and mother that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land." Paul here is quoting from the Ten Commandments back in Exodus chapter 20. And if you remember from last week, sort of the umbrella that this command, this teaching falls under, where Paul's having a discussion about submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And then he gets specific. He teaches this through the metaphor of the family. First, he talks about what submission looks like in marriage. That was last week's message, and now he's talking to children. The Greek word there for submit is hupotasso. Hupo means under. To place oneself under is to submit. We talked about that last week. You voluntarily yield your will to another person, even when you disagree. right? And then Paul adds a second word. It's the word that we use for obey. It's hupo akouo. Hupo under akouo means to listen. And we translate that obey to hear or to listen under. It's great instruction for children, right? They need to listen and they need to hear. Really listen so that they do, right? Submit, obey. These are related to each other. It's how we position ourselves. We rank ourselves. We listen under, in this case, our mom and our dad. And then Paul introduces the concept of honor. That's how we view the other person, right? The word there is to prize, to place high value on. It's how we are to view our parents, specifically here in this passage. You're to esteem them, to respect them, to prize them, to place them in a high position in your eyes because they're your parents. Now, I just want to stop for a moment and just imagine how different our culture would be if we did just that. Honestly, if children honored their parents, but we don't, do we, oftentimes? We think we know better. We don't listen. We rank ourselves above our parents. I can remember growing up, I idolized my dad. I wanted to be wherever he was. I wanted to do whatever he did. My dad played on a softball team in this league, and I wanted to go to every single game with him and watch and follow and everything. I imitated the way he walked. When he gave advice, I took it. I mean, I never even occurred to me to question his approach. He was my dad, and then I started getting older, right? Middle school, early high school age, and I started figuring some things out. You know, I'm gaining some knowledge. I'm starting to, you know, understand the world a little bit. And with that came this sense of pride. And slowly my dad and also my mom as well, they became less trustworthy in my eyes. They didn't know so much anymore. I didn't want to be around them that much. And it wasn't that they changed, right? They were the same. They were as reliable as they had always been. I was 14, 15 years old, and I knew everything. Words like submit and obey and honor, they meant nothing to me. And let me tell you something, it was awful. It was a terrible way to live. Recently, as I was kind of studying through the scripture, kind of thinking about this message, I ran across this verse in 1 Corinthians 14. It says, "Brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Be infants in evil, but in your thinking be mature." And looking back at that stage in my life, I think, okay, I was the opposite of that, right? I was immature and childish in my thinking, but I was pretty mature when it came to evil. Me and my friends were like, we're savvy when it comes to doing the wrong thing, right? And so my house was filled with tension because of me. It wasn't going well with me, like it said in that first part of Ephesians 6, because I wasn't honoring my parents. I was miserable. My parents were miserable. When you live outside of God's clear design, it just doesn't work. Something had to give. And at 17 years old, I put my trust in Christ. And I began reading the Bible for the first time. I was in a group like the one Steve talked about. My overall attitude and approach to life began to shift. And then one day, a couple years into this small group that I was in, we read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, that it may go well with you." And I thought, oh man, I'm not doing that. I mean, I never even thought about it, honestly. In fact, I had developed as a Christian, as a young Christian, I had developed this attitude that I now even knew even more than my parents because they weren't Christians and I was, and I had figured this whole thing out, and I had sort of, it was this wrong, prideful, I just thought I knew better. And so I began to ask myself this question after hearing this passage and reading through it. What would it look like for me as a young college student to honor my mom and my dad? And my mom had always placed a huge priority on education. My mom is a PhD. She's a professor at a big university on the East Coast. And that was never that big of a deal to me, the education side of things, especially at that stage in my life. I cared more about ministry stuff, honestly, and that was going to be my future. But I knew it was so important to my mom. I knew she was really concerned about that. And I remember going to her and I said to her, I said, "Mom, can you tell me what your hopes are for me when it comes to my education?" And my mom had an answer for that question. She did. She said, "I want you to carry a 3.5 GPA through your years of college there." And I went, whoa, my gosh, okay. And then she said, "And I want you to consider graduate school before you move into," and I had not been thinking much about graduate school. And so I graduated summa cum laude from Xavier University, mostly because my mom cared about it. Honestly, I worked hard because I knew it was so important to her. And there, it just made sense as we were moving out and when Laura and I got married, there was space in there for me to consider this graduate program, which I went through. I got a master's degree in counseling. And both of those were huge for me. The discipline of working hard at something in order to honor was really significant, and it's helped me in my life and ministry, and certainly the counseling skills I gained through this degree. It really served me, and it was a blessing to my mom. It was a way even to kind of share the gospel with her. And my mom just turned 70, and I still ask myself this question on a regular basis. Am I showing honor to my mom and to my dad? And now it's visits, it's phone calls, it's emails, it's photos of our kids and helping them keep up with what's going on with our boys. It's notes, it's being prepared to care for our parents as they age. It's my wife spending a month living in Cleveland for a month last year as her mom's health was failing. And then as her mom has passed away, taking care of all the details of her estate. It's this honor thing. The command for me to honor still applies today. Now, for some of you, this will be easy because your parents are honorable, right? And they're committed to keeping God's commands on their side, which we're going to talk about here in a couple weeks in this series. And if you're in that situation, be thankful. In fact, I might even encourage you to go to your parents and say, "Thank you." For some of you, this is really tough. And I know that. Your parents may ask you to do something even that goes against God's word. You may have, your parents, they may have some unhealthy or controlling habits. There's all kinds of issues with blended families and difficult situations. And do I honor my stepmom? And there's all kinds of questions. You need to work through all of that. And to be clear, I'm not saying that as adults, we need to do everything our parents say. I could have not gone to grad school and still been honoring to my mom in a different way. She did pay for it. That was helpful. But you do need to work through all that. I know that can be a challenge, but the principle of honor remains throughout because they're your parents and it's God's design. We submit, we obey, we honor our parents because it's God's way in family. And there's more to it than that. When we practice submission, obedience, and honor in our earthly families with our earthly parents who are imperfect, we're developing healthy patterns that will carry over into our relationship with God, who is perfect. In fact, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, it says, "In Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith." Now, what does Paul mean by that? Well, there's a sense, which is true for all of us, it's kind of under the category of kind of common grace. We're all humans created by God. In a sense, we're all children of God in that way. But Paul is getting at something different here. He's writing to Christ followers in Galatia there, and it's people who have been chosen by God and who have received Jesus. it's a different thing that he's talking about here when he's talking about children of God. In fact, way back in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul says that God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. And he says, in love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? That God in advance selected us to be part of his family. Whenever I do a teaching here or somewhere else, I have a group of people who have agreed to pray for you all and for me as we kind of go through this stuff. And so I sent this email out on Friday, and I got a response back from some very dear friends of mine, Ben and Stacy, who I've known for a long time. And they had gotten the email and read through the little summary of the message. And Ben said, today, February 20th, is Gotcha Day in our house. We're celebrating that today. Because 2 years ago, on February 20th, was the day they brought their adopted son, Jaden, home to live with them for the very first time. And so they've named that Gotcha Day because they like to look at Jaden and say, that's the day we gotcha. And they call it Gotcha Day. It's the day their son, Jaden, found his home. Now, here's the thing. I know for many of you, this series, honestly, is hard. Your family, it might be a mess. Marriage might be struggling. Your children are all over the place. Maybe your parents, maybe they did nothing worthy of honor. It's really difficult. Some of you maybe never even knew your mom and your dad. And because of all that and other things, you've never been able to really trust God. Is today your gotcha day? It's time to come home. The God of the universe wants to adopt you into his family. I love that. How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure. In John 1:12, it says, but as many as received him, as many as received Jesus, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Receive him. Enter into his family. When you're in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. It's who we are as Christ followers. And because that's true, being a child in our earthly family is so important because it teaches us about what it means to be a child in our heavenly family, a child of God. Look at Matthew chapter 18, verse 1. Says this, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus and they said, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And calling to him a child, Jesus put the child in the midst of them and said, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoa. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus says, become like children, right? Maybe you've even heard that expression if you've been around the church, childlike faith is kind of a common, maybe you've heard that before. I think that concept probably comes from this passage, but the passage doesn't mention faith, does it? In fact, I can't find anywhere in the Bible where we're told to have childlike faith. And I looked pretty hard. It may be in there, but I don't see that. We are to be children, is what Jesus says here, but we're to be childlike in what? Humility. Humility and faith are related to one another, but they're not the same thing. Humility is a bit like submission. It's a bit like obedience in the sense it has this lowering kind of thing, this ranking under. It's the selfless attitude that comes from our correct understanding of who we are in light of who God is, right? Now, for most of us, our default is not humility. Our default is pride, right? The disciples have pride. They say, who's the greatest? It's probably going to be me. I'm probably the greatest. I mean, I'm the greatest now. And so certainly when we get to heaven. That's the question they're asking, right? To have pride is to hold oneself in high esteem, to rank oneself highly. And when we're governed by pride, we tend not to be receptive to the lordship of Jesus Christ in our lives. And that's why Jesus says, unless you turn, you change, you got to be different. You got to become like one of these kids. He puts the kid on his knee, right, in the midst of this group. You will never enter the kingdom of heaven. We're to be childlike in humility, which is the pattern that we develop in our earthly family. We honor God like we do our mom and dad. We submit to him like we do. We place ourselves under like we do our mom and dad. We obey and listen under the word of God. In fact, I think the word, the scripture, the Bible here is the key to this. Look at what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2. In verse 1, he says, so put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Now, some of you have been there, right? It's 4 o'clock in the morning, you're sound asleep, and then your baby gets hungry, right? And so they sit quietly in their crib and wait patiently until you are ready to feed them. And it's, no, they don't do that at all. They start screaming, just desperate. And you know that sound. That's just, it's louder and louder. And they're just crying and screaming. You jerk up in bed and you're disoriented, you know, and then they're screaming louder. And then you kind of try, your leg's asleep and you stub your toe and they're screaming louder. And so then you start screaming at your spouse, you know, and it's like, what's going on? It's disoriented. And then you finally get to this baby and you pick up the baby and he's all wet. And you're like, what am I going to do? And it's just screaming. And it's just desperate. Give me the food. And it just keeps this urge. It's got to be now. And finally, you bring the bottle or the mama with, you know, comes in, whatever, and when he gets the milk and the baby goes, oh, yeah. And you go, oh, and everything's okay, right? Do you thirst for God's word like that? Like you know it's what you need, that it's all you need? Peter says, crave God's word like a desperate child. In the original Greek, I believe it reads, stay thirsty, my friends. I think that's exactly what it says, what Peter said there. Have you ever been around someone who's a brand new Christian, right? And they are just, they've never read the Bible before, and they just can't get enough of God's word. And they have all these questions they want to talk about all the time. They bring to you, what is this? And I love being around people like that. And I struggle to be a person like that. See, over time, we tend to lose that, don't we? We become apathetic, maybe a little bit smug, maybe a little bit, it sort of becomes kind of tried and true, and we lose our humility and our longing, our thirst for God's word fades as well. Peter says, stay childlike in your desire, your longing, your yearning for God's word. And notice why. He says, so that by it you may grow up. In other words, he's saying, don't stay like a child in your, dare I say it, faith. Now, what is faith? Well, we know what faith is. In Hebrews 11:1, it says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not yet seen, right? And when it comes to faith, even in that passage, you can see there's some mystery, some wonder. It's this future, this I'm not sure what's going to happen kind of component to it. And at the same time, our faith ought to be marked by assurance and conviction. We should thirst for God's word because growing in the knowledge of the truth is good for our faith. What we need to be careful of is that we don't grow in knowledge and grow in pride along with our knowledge. That tends to be what happens. As our understanding of God's word goes up, our pride ought to decrease. Our humility ought to increase. See, when pride grows with knowledge, what tends to happen is our disdain for others tends to increase. And that's not an appealing type of Christianity, let me tell you. That's why Jesus puts this child on his knee and he says, be like this child in humility. The Bible says, be like a child. And the Bible says, don't be like a child. It's both. Peter says, long like a child for the word, so that you may grow up into salvation. Don't stay like a child. And so malice and deceit and hypocrisy, envy, slander, put those things away, says Peter. Those are not childlike. Those are childish. And there's a big difference. Paul says it clearly back to Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 14. He says, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, instead of staying like children, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. See, children believe everything they hear, right? They're easily deceived. They're easily confused. Paul says to Christ followers, don't be like that. Your faith ought to be marked by assurance and conviction. For the little kid in the video to think that the Jonah's whale swallowed Noah's ark and everything, that's adorable. But for a grown-up, not so adorable. Completely different stories. Not the same thing at all, right? Paul says, grow up. Peter says the same thing in every way. How do we do that? Well, the key, according to Paul here, is love. No longer be children, rather speaking the truth in love. Love coupled with knowledge is what causes maturity. In 1 Corinthians 8, verse 1, it says that knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Knowledge without love generates pride. When it's coupled with love, it causes growth. It causes maturity. The truly mature believer become so confident in their position in Christ as an adopted child of the King that they're able to grow in knowledge and maintain a sincere love for others. It's both, right? They're approachable. They understand that their position means I'm not better than this other person. It means I'm to love this person because of the way God has loved me. In 1 Corinthians 13, which is a pretty well-known section in the Bible regarding love, it says this. It says, love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not, it gives a bunch of kind of things that love is not. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way, which is what a child would do, right? It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing. That's what me and my friends did because we were immature. We were like, wrongdoing, rejoice. That was our whole thing. I'm sad to say it, but that's the way we were. But rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. And then Paul says this, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. Isn't that interesting? Love is not childish. But in order to love, we need to be childlike in humility. We need to trust God the way a child trusts his parents, the way I was with my dad growing up. And that brings us full circle, I think, in this little section in Ephesians where God is teaching us about our relationship with him through our relationships inside of our family. In Ephesians 5, in fact, the first verse of Ephesians 5 there, it says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. We're to be like children who are adored by their father, who have been adopted, who've been chosen, right? And walk in love. And Jesus is our example in all of this. He loved. He sacrificed. He submitted. He honored. He obeyed his father, all to God's glory. And as Paul has worked his way through this passage, this chapter 5, he then has urged us to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ or honor for Christ. And then those specific areas of instruction, right? The application within our marriages, within our families as children. So let's get practical for a couple moments as we wrap up here. Three kind of thoughts that I want to encourage you to consider. First, whatever your age, whatever your stage in life, whatever your situation, honor your parents. It will display the gospel to them and to those around you. And it will teach you to honor God as your heavenly Father. When you submit, when you yield your will, even when you disagree to your parents, you're doing right. That's what it says in Ephesians 6:1. It's right to do that. You're showing honor or reverence for Jesus, and you're creating a healthy pattern in your life that will help you as you aim to submit to God going forward. Secondly, develop a great desire for God's word by straining for it. You know, there's two ways to develop a thirst for something. You can starve the thirst, right? And I'm not recommending that at all here. A lot of us, that's our strategy with the Bible, is we wait until we're about to die. Things are so desperate and we're like, oh, I guess I'll just, you know, maybe there's something. That's not a good strategy, I don't think, when it comes to studying God's word. Instead, develop that thirst through repetition. Have a regular practice of drinking in God's word. And I think it starts in the family. We talked about that last week, that the husband is the father, the primary Bible teacher in the home. It's interesting to me, for a long time, that was just an assumed within the church. Throughout history, if you look, the family was the place. It was because the people, we just lived differently. You were with cousins and aunts and uncles and grandma and grandpa, and it would just gather, and the Bible was just part of the fabric. The idea of a life group would have been like, why would I do that? I have a family. You know, but now that's a recent development in the church, and it's a good thing because the way things have evolved, the way we live, we don't have some of that going on in our families, and we need to create spaces for folks so that they can dive into God's word and sort of create the family of families is really picking up where maybe the earthly family might not be able to be a service to folks there. We need to do that. Steve, if you have your tear off, there's the beginning of the blog post that Steve Summerlot, who was the guy who gave the announcements today, he said, if you want to be obedient to the Lord, you've got to fall in love with God's word. I would encourage you to read through. I was reading his blog post yesterday. Steve has been around here a long time, and we give him a hard time, and it's fun because he's hilarious and everything. But I'll say this. Steve is one of the most humble people I've ever run across. And what he has to say here is really, really important in terms of how did that develop, God work that through his life. I think his advice is really wise. And then the third thing I want to leave you with is just this idea of grow up, but stay humble. That is what growing up is in Christ. Grow in knowledge, grow in truth, grow in assurance and conviction, grow in faith, but don't grow in pride. Do it without becoming arrogant or condescending or self-absorbed. Stay childlike in humility. And you do that by keeping that thirst, that childlike desperate thirst for God's word. And our motivation is the gospel. It's so that as folks watch the way we live, they'll go, oh man, that is totally a different dynamic in that family. What in the world? And that they might ask questions about Jesus, and that more and more people around the Lansing area and beyond might have their gotcha day. That's what we want. I was trying to think of the best way to wrap up this message, and then I was reading in Paul's words in Philippians chapter 2, say it perfectly, so I'll close with this. This is Philippians 2, verse 14. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, which, by the way, is what a child would do. Don't be like a child, is what he's saying. So that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, be like a child, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ, I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Let's pray. God, we are just thankful even for the encouragement there in Philippians chapter 2, that we wouldn't be childish in the way we live and be whiny and be negative and judgmental towards other people, but that we would grow into maturity, blameless and innocent children of God, so that we would shine like lights in the world in this kind of twisted world that we live in. Folks would be able to ask questions and hear about Jesus, that more and more people would come to you. Help us navigate all the challenges within our families. This can be so complicated and difficult, the different relationships and blended families and Christian, non-Christian, all of that, Lord. I know this is hard stuff, but help us to walk with the truth of your word and apply those principles in the way we carry ourselves. We thank you that Jesus is our example in all of this, that he humbled himself, that he submitted, that he loved, that he sacrificed, that we can look to him as our example. And we pray in his name. Amen.